O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
What if you were to get an invitation to dinner and it says certain time, certain place, and Jesus is coming to dinner? If I were to get such an invitation, I would probably react in two ways. Number one, be excited. Oh, Jesus is coming to dinner. And I would be a little apprehensive that I'd be sitting there and Jesus would look me in the eye and see right through me, which would be really scary. Well, we have to use our imaginations a bit about how the invitation went out and got passed around, but we know that Jesus came to dinner, and we know that there was a growing conflict between Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees. Scribes and Pharisees wanted to enforce the letter of the law. It says this and this and this, and no exceptions. Jesus, on the other hand, was more interested in doing God's will in his life. And so there was a conflict. And we can safely assume that the invitation was somewhat disingenuous. Listen again to what the words in Luke says. Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, and they were watching him closely. They didn't know that Jesus was also watching them closely. So we have this tension going on in this dinner, all kinds of drama, all kinds of currents going on in this dinner. And so while the Pharisees were watching Jesus very closely, he was watching how they came in to sit down at the banquet table. Some of them would go up to the head table. A lot of them were jostling to get at the head table. Some of them would sit, and sometimes the host would say, excuse me, you need to move down there, because someone more important is going to sit there where you are. And of course, they would be embarrassed, but that's the price you pay when you try to be first. And Jesus noticed all this stuff, and he noticed by his actions and his words, he addresses the issues of healing and hospitality and humility in these verses today. And so does the other scripture. Sirach talks about pride separating us from God. And Hebrews talks about hospitality. And it's perhaps no accident that the healing section comes first. You don't get to see that in today's reading because it's left out. The scripture reading goes from verse 4 to verse, 7 or something like that. But if you'd look in your Bibles, you'll see verse 1 through 14. It talks about a man who came to Jesus before the banquet. And he came to Jesus because he was suffering from an old term, dropsy, it says. We don't say dropsy anymore. My mother used to say dropsy. But we call it edema. That's where you have swelling, you retain fluid, and normally part of a heart problem. But anyway, Jesus, according to Luke, doesn't say much to the man. He simply heals him, and the man goes on his way. And then comes the tension. The Pharisees say, by the way, this is the Sabbath, and you healed a person on the Sabbath. That's not nice, because you've broken the law. And Jesus says, well, let's see. As he said last week, he pointed out that, for instance, last week when the woman was healed with the osteoporosis, really bent over, he said, what if your donkey was thirsty on the Sabbath? Wouldn't you take it to get a drink? And they said, of course. And he said, well, what's the problem with healing one of your own on the Sabbath? And they didn't have an answer. Same thing happened today with the man with the dropsy. They totally missed the point of God's working through Jesus Christ in people's lives and their healing. They missed the point. Jesus tells the whole crowd that these religious leaders would not hesitate to walk out and give a drink to their thirsty donkeys. And why aren't they rejoicing when one of their own is healed? Well, you know, you've known people that just pick. They find things wrong. These people that can walk in a room where 99 things are right, and they'll find the one thing that's wrong and pick on it. Years ago, Patty and I went to Mexico, and there was another person with us. And to tell you how long ago it was, we took a book that said Mexico on $5 a day. Well, we didn't get very far. We upgraded at about the fourth or fifth day, but we were in a place called Palenque. Palenque is Mayan ruins where they used to train Mayan priests. And it was very ethereal. We went early in the morning. We were the only people there. There was a light mist hanging over these Mayan ruins. It was quite impressive. And I was awestruck. And as we were walking out, this friend who went with us said, did you see those cigarette butts on the ground? Totally missing the moment. Totally missing the whole point of the adventure. Same thing with these people that were criticizing Jesus. They missed the whole point of God working in their lives. And so he addresses the lawyers and the Pharisees, and he begins to deal with the sick man. And he starts with the question, is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath day or not? They didn't have an answer. No words are exchanged between the man and Jesus, and they go on their way. And Jesus turns back to his host and he says, if one of you has a child or an ox that's fallen into the well on the Sabbath, would you not immediately pull it out? The answer is, of course. The essential point of this lesson is that Jesus brings hope and healing, while his detractors bring rules and regulations. Well, we come to the meal. The meal begins to get underway, and Jesus observes how these guests begin to jostle for the most prominent places at the table, and some of them are embarrassed, told to move down, and some are not. And Jesus says, I want to tell you a parable. And in this parable, he says the first will be last, the last will be first, and you're supposed to be humble. And the whole essence of this parable is central to the way that God's kingdom works. Not the way our world works, the way God's kingdom works. Because you see, part of the problem that Jesus got into with other people was that he turned the world upside down. He says that humility is one of the hallmarks of a person of authentic faith and the central principle in the kingdom of God. That's not the way things are working. You remember the story of the Pharisee and what we call the publican? They were in the temple to pray, and the Pharisees, "Thank you, Jesus." No, "Thank you, God." "Thank you, God, that I am not like this person over here. He's a sinner, and I am so pure and holy. Thank you." And the fellow over here said, "Help me, Lord." Just hung his head and asked God for mercy. Jesus said, "I tell you, this man over here went home justified rather than the other man. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." And that's not normally the way it works in our world. And finally, in this story today, Jesus turns to the host. And he says, when you give a dinner, don't invite your relatives, your sisters, your brothers, your cousins. Don't invite the rich people, but invite the poor and the dispossessed. And you'll be blessed by God. Not the way it works in our world, is it? Throughout his gospel, Luke is focused on Jesus' heart for the poor and the socially unacceptable people. And in fact, the sure sign of God's presence was to be there in the good news for the poor. Hospitality is one of the marks of the faithful community. And Paul says, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. And in Hebrews, we heard read a few moments ago, don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, you might entertain an angel unawares. So those who sought to entrap Jesus in the breaking of Sabbath laws missed the whole point. The whole point of his healing ministry, the whole point of his humility, the whole point of his teaching in hospitality. We are called to be people of faith, to become a community of hope and healing, a place of hospitality and humility. It's the mark of greatness in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, we come as shirt-tailed relatives to the marriage feast, and we discover to our amazement that Christ is there and has saved the places of honor for us. Our true identity, says Jesus, is not that of distant acquaintances, but that of children of God, his brothers and sisters. And so he stands this morning at our feast. He's here with open arms saying, come on in, friend. Come up here and sit with me, for you are a child of God. Amen.